This week's episode is brought to you by Dionne Warwick. No, it's not. That'll make sense later on. It's brought to you by Devin C., who suggested the featured movie on our Facebook page. Thank you very much for the movie suggestion, Devin. If you have a movie you'd like us to break down on a future episode, we're going to tell you all the ways you can do that at the end of the show. And now, let's begin. Welcome to episode 75 of the Graveyard Shift Horror Podcast, where each week we watch a horror movie suggested by one of our listeners, and we break it down into the good, the bad, and any other category we decide to make up along the way. We'll talk about the plot, some production details, and anything else we find fun or relevant. I'm your host, Sheldon, and I never worked a graveyard shift alone. In the red corner, fighting out of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, the Ottawa Obliterator, Mike King!
Yeah! What you gonna do when the king rolls over you, brother?
All right, enough of that. You like that intro? Did that...
It was pretty sweet.
Did that suit your... to stroke your ego just the right way?
Yes, my ego has been sufficiently stroked.
All right. So, if you're wondering why the fight announcer intro... Then it may have something to do with this week's movie. Mike, why don't you tell everyone what we got for them this time?
Today's movie is Celebrity Undeathmatch, because we watched Monster Brawl.
Oh boy, did we ever. Oh. So anyway, here's a little info on Monster Brawl. The opening film in the 2011 Toronto After Dark Film Gala, Monster Brawl is a Canadian independent horror comedy written, directed, and produced by Jesse T. Cook. It has a runtime of 90 minutes, one of the few things that this movie got right. Had a budget of $200,000 Canadian, so like $15 US, and made a profit of, I don't know. Couldn't find anything on it, and I seriously doubt that it made one. Rotten Tomatoes gives this one a critic score of nothing. It doesn't have one. And an audience score of 16%.
Oh, ouch. That's not fair.
As for the plot, 8 classic movie monsters, and more on that later. Cyclops, Swamp Gut, Frankenstein's Monster, Lady Vampire, Werewolf, Mummy, Witch Bitch, and Zombie Man, Jesus Christ, fight to the death, the wrestling style, oh my God, so much wrestling in this movie, wrestling style inside an abandoned and cursed graveyard shown in pay-per-view style.
You know what, maybe that 16% wasn't too far off.
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly honest, a little heads up, my rating for this one is not going to be a whole lot higher than that. So we are going to do our due diligence. We're going to do like we always do on the Graveyard Shift. We are going to break this movie down into the good and the bad, basically what we liked and didn't like about it. And if we decide that there's another category we want to make up towards the end, you know, if we need to fill some time or something like that, then we will go ahead and do that. Now, when it comes to the good and the bad, that can be pretty much anything that we want to do with this. Whether it's a certain plot point, a certain character, a certain scene, certain line of dialogue, and something more broad like an overall theme, we will talk about it. We will start with the good, and as always, we will start with the mic. So, Mike, dig deep and tell me something that you liked about this movie.
I liked the intro videos, especially for the Grizzly Planet one for Swamp Gut.
Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the better ones for Swamp Gut. I've kind of felt like...
Some of them were great.
Some of them were pretty good. Like, I mean, like, you got to go into this movie with a grain of salt. Like, this is very low budget.
And I think it was actually made by wrestlers. So you're going to be looking for a lot of flash and sizzle, but, like, very little actual theatrical... more theatricality, but less, you know, talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly one that it caters to the horror and wrestling fans. Like, it's kind of, somebody really did try to put a mix of that into it. I did like that. It kind of felt like more like a web series type of thing, like that when I was watching the intros. Like, this is somebody, something somebody would have done for their YouTube channel. You know, just came up with a bunch of monster bios and acted out, like, got their friends together and acted out, like, a little scene involving that monster.
Yeah, this definitely looks like it should have been, like a YouTube miniseries.
Yeah. Oh, if somebody put this on YouTube, I probably would have thought, oh, like, this is great. I got to share this link. Like, people should be watching this. You know?
Hey, can you imagine if they put real actors and money into this?
Yeah. And, I mean, not that I paid for this. Well, I mean, I guess technically we did pay for it because we watched it on Shudder. So if you have a Shudder subscription, check it out. I mean, you should have a Shudder subscription anyway. Everyone should have a Shudder subscription. It costs you $5 a month and gives you access to some great original content and lots of independent horror movies like this one. So if that's your jam, like, you need to do it. And Shudder doesn't sponsor the show, although they should. Shudder,
yeah,
hook us up.
Yeah, so go to Shudder and ask them to like give the promo code Graveyard Shift, and when that doesn't work, you ask them why the fuck not.
And when they say they haven't heard of us, then you can fill them in.
And after you're done beating them up, then you can actually tell them about the show.
And when they realize that it's the same, our account has the same email address, that's when they'll be saying, like, oh, these are the guys I watched the Joe Bob Briggs special like 17 times. But yeah, check it out on Shudder if you have a subscription. It's take 90 minutes of your time, I guess. I'll maybe recommend it. Anyway, we'll get to that.
It's not going to cost you money, so that's what influences the recommendation heavily.
Yeah. So what I've got first on my good list is that at least somebody made the attempt to try something original. You know, like, I'm a fan of the versus type movies. Like, if you get, like, some monsters to actually fight each other, what a lot of these movies actually lack when you have, like, you know, insert monster name versus name versus name. What a lot of them are lacking is that we don't actually get much of a fight between the monsters. And if, and a lot of them are, like, when we do, a lot of them are left undecided. Case in point, Freddy versus Jason. You know, like, it's left open-ended. There's no open-endedness, if that's a word. If not, I just copyrighted that bitch. I mean, when these monsters fight, there's a clear winner because the other one is fucking dead.
Or beyond undead. If they're undead, they go back up to
dead. They're double dead. So, like, at least somebody made an effort. They came up with an idea. Somebody that's, like, a wrestling fan and a horror movie fan and said, let's take, like, some monsters, put them in a ring, make them duke it out. And I'll give them props for that, at least.
Yeah, and my second props, goes to the fighting. It wasn't just, like, oh, like a suplex here or there. Like, they threw in, like, some technical wrestling moves as well as just, you know, monster powers. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of all right. Like, it felt a little odd because you would expect, like, in a movie showdown, like, the fights would be a bit more epic in scope. But it also combined it with, like, good old cheap backyard wrestling shit.
Yeah, it's really, it focused on the wrestling aspect of it. Like, this, I've seen some actual wrestling, like some amateur wrestling that, you know, this pretty much looked like it to me. So give them props for that. Like, this is obviously, like, a great wrestling tribute, so.
It's a love letter to both horror and wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, this was made with love and it shows.
Yep. And actually, the first time I heard this movie was from our buddy Robin, who's been on the show quite a few times, actually, and was even a guest host for an occasion. He was the one that first told me about this movie. He actually, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, I think he may have bought it at a Comic-Con. He was here in Toronto at a Comic-Con, and they were selling copies of the movie here.
Got it signed by Dave Foley and asked, oh, I thought you were Mick Foley. And then when he got both of them, that's probably how this movie got incepted. Someone heard the kids in the hall was around, they got Mankind to sign their DVD, and they're like, oh, wrong Foley. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we got, like, both of these guys together? Hey, that could be a movie.
Yeah. So, you know what? I was coming into recording this episode about, like, just to trash on this movie, and trust me, I'll get there. I'll do that. But, you know, I feel kind of bad for trashing on it, because this is somebody's honest attempt. You know, I don't think they thought that this was going to become some kind of huge blockbuster or anything like that. This was more of a passion project, but I don't know. Like, I don't think that there is a way to really do it better. I don't think even having, like, a huge budget and great special effects would have made this any better. So, anyway, I'll just keep going with the good for what I have now. Since you already mentioned him, Dave Foley. It was pretty cool to see him there. I'm, you know, of course, Canadian, grew up in the 80s, was a teenager in the 90s. I was a huge Kids in the Hall fan. And I think you were, too. I think we've actually talked about it before.
I didn't know much about them. I just didn't really know about them growing up. I was more focused on, like, sci-fi or, you know, documentaries back when I was a teenager, because I was that kid. But once, like, the Comedy Channel came around and I started, like, watching it late at night, and I saw, like, episodes of this. And seeing, like, the Chicken Lady, the Head Crusher.
Yeah.
This was some pretty biting comedy.
Yeah. I loved it, even though, like, technically I wasn't supposed to be watching it, because they did cover some pretty mature themes sometimes in the show. And a lot of the humor, I think, was, like, I was a kid, so a lot of humor, I didn't quite understand it, like, some of the jokes that were made. But it catered to my sense of humor. Like, I have a weird sense of humor, and this, man, like, you have to have a weird sense of humor to enjoy Kids in the Hall.
Well, like, again, the Chicken Lady and the Head Crusher.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta have a wonderful sense of whimsy to even look at these characters and not be like, that's it, I'm fucking out.
Mm-hmm. And having, like, several points to go back to on my list, I'll just knock a few off right here, because they're all about some of the people that that appeared. We got Dave Foley, but they got Lance Hendrickson to narrate this thing. That was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And, horror and sci-fi, I mean, if you're a horror and sci-fi fan, yeah, you know who Lance Hendrickson is, so don't have to go into that. Robert Mallet, he's been in a lot of stuff. He actually appears in a lot of horror stuff. Kevin Nash and Jimmy Hart were in this. That was pretty cool, especially Jimmy Hart. Of course, being a growing up in the 80s, I mean, even though I'm not a wrestling fan right now, it was hard to be a kid in the 80s without being, like, a WWF fan. And so, I mean, Jimmy, Mouth of the South, Hart, like, the Hart Foundation, that Bret Hart, and, like, everybody knew who these guys were. He was Jimmy Hart, of course, he was a total heel.
And, was he the guy with the mustache?
Yeah.
In the shades?
That's him.
I thought it was Ron Jeremy at first.
There's a lot of similarities, actually, face-wise, and I've got no point of reference for anything else, but there's a lot of similarities looks-wise, anyway. So, yeah, it was cool to see these people, like, from totally, like, people that, like, I was aware of from totally different things, but just to see them, like, all in this pop-up in this movie was pretty cool. All right, so what else do you got for the good? Because I'm pretty much just rambling at this point.
The mummy giving smack talk in hieroglyphics. That cracked me up really fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that.
My final good. Before I do my final good, there was, like, one thing I couldn't find a category for, so I just got it, like, in trivia / question. There's the sergeant that trains the zombie. Isn't his name is Lieutenant Briggs, Was that a reference to Joe Bob?
I have no idea. Could be. No clue.
But, well, now that that's been brought up, my final good is when the commentator's watching Swamp Gut get punched in the stomach, and he says, "I haven't seen an abdomen attack like that since King Hippo in 88.
Yes! I know, I put that in my notes. He'd actually made a Punch-Out reference.
Like, when you throw in a Punch-Out reference, that just told me, like, I want to hang out with this fucking director, with this writer. I want to buy him a beer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We can definitely have some conversations, and he'd probably be interested in at least two of my podcasts.
Yeah. So, I didn't know whether to put this in the good or the bad. What did you think of, like, the actual story? Would you prefer, like, because they actually did put a story, like, kind of to tie things together. Did you like that? Or would you have just like, hey, I'm watching like a pay-per-view event about monsters fighting. I just want to see like matches between monsters.
If the monsters were a bit more brutal in their attacks, I probably would have gone for the monster thing. This one, it seemed to be a little distracting in between like the bouts. Then again, if they made it just wrestling, I don't know if that would have, like, filled up everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real question.
Yeah, I didn't mind the story part, except that like leaving it like that stupid like fade to black freeze frame ending that they did with the zombie and. Geez, it's been a while since I actually watched this. Cause this is we actually prepped for this one quite a while ago. It was Frankenstein's monster and the
Wolfman.
No, Wolfman died before because he gets killed by.
But then didn't he come back?
Wolfman.
Yeah, because the witch was killed and the. I'm pretty sure the Wolfman, like, because, like, it looked like he died, but, like, each one of them looked like they died, but they just kept coming back for more.
No, because Wolfman got killed.
Oh, no, it was...
The Colonel.
Frankenstein versus the Colonel.
Yeah, he comes back as a zombie, right? Because he got bitten by the zombie.
Right.
He comes back as a zombie, and...
That's when it, like, just, like, final clash, and then boom, it just cuts out.
Yeah, I didn't like that, so...
No, I wanted to see that showdown. Like, don't, like, when a movie, like, you should know the quality of the movie you're making. It is not likely you're going to get a sequel. You got to bust that nut now.
Exactly. All right, so since we're already moving into it, let's talk about the bad. Because I'm going to have a longer list for the bad.
Oh, boy, same here.
Okay, let's first of all talk about, because I mentioned this in my notes, the description of the movie itself. Eight classic movie monsters.
Except not.
Yeah, okay, I'll give a pass for Cyclops, because Cyclops has appeared in some movies. Okay, Swamp Gut, which is basically just creature from Black Lagoon.
Or Swamp Thing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes, that's right. Frankenstein's Monster, okay, give you a pass there. Lady Vampire.
Yeah, fuck that. There's names.
Werewolf, of course you can't. Werewolf is certainly good. Mummy, not the mummy, but just mummy, so that's fine. Witch Bitch. Classic movie monster. Hey, Mike, remember that classic movie, Witch Bitch?
Fuck yeah, like, where she's just like some gross lady with a warded nose living in, like, 16th century Massachusetts.
And Zombie Man. Not just like a zombie. Zombie Man.
Well, because he was bitten by a radioactive zombie, so now he has all the powers and proportional strength of a zombie. In other words, he's a fucking zombie.
I'm pretty sure if you try a little harder, you could have got some other, you know, classic movie monsters that the actual names of the monster are public domain.
Hey, like, just the witch. You could have just done that, or just give her, like, a witch's name, like Hagatha.
Yeah.
Like, something.
How about Dracula?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm pretty certain that Dracula is public domain.
Like,
I don't think you have...
Maybe it's owned by the Bram Stoker estate, aren't... Weren't they?
I don't know, man. There's been, like, a lot of Dracula used in... I really don't think so. I think the name itself...
At least they did. They did at the time. That's why they were able to nearly destroy Nosferatu.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. That was 100 years ago.
Yeah, copyrights do expire, right? Yeah. After 100 years?
I mean, come on. Even Night of the Living Dead, it was made in 1968, is public domain right now.
Well, that was due to a fuck-up.
You're right. Yeah, like, I stand corrected on that one. That is right. But, I don't know, like...
It worked out, though, because it was public domain, it was able to be run everywhere, so he literally did buy that kind of publicity.
Yeah.
With the cost of any profits or revenues. Yeah, there was a, like, Cyclops. I wouldn't say Cyclops is, like, a major movie monster. Like, aside from Clash of the Titans, when have you seen a Cyclops in a movie?
Yeah. I'm probably pretty sure I could think of a few, but I guess... When they say classic movie, I guess like if that specific character appeared in a movie, an old movie, then I'll give them a pass. But like even then, being lenient on them, they're still like 50%.
Yeah, Cyclops could have been replaced with the Invisible Man because that is a classic movie monster, and that would have been friggin' hilarious.
Here's the thing,
see
though.
A person like getting suplexed by nobody.
Universal Studios actually owns the copyright to the Invisible Man.
Wait, so was Hollow Man done by Universal?
I'm not sure, but I do know that, what movie was it that, my God, Sean Connery was in it. It was all these, like, literary figures in it. Oh, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Because of Universal has a right to The Invisible Man, they actually had to call their character, they didn't say he's The Invisible Man, they had to say he's... An Invisible Man.
Well, good. Then they could have just thrown that in here, like an Invisible Man. Like a guy that like made a wish that, you know, he could be like the greatest burglar in the world. Like you could have just had like the leprechaun grant him a wish and just be like, I want to be the best burglar on the planet. I want nobody to ever see me.
And there's
okay. I'll grant you that, laddie.
Yeah, he should have had, hey, there you go. He should have had leprechaun in this thing.
Yeah, I don't see how that would have.
Don't think it would work? Yeah, maybe not.
No.
All right.
Yeah. So
tell me something
for me,
from your bad list.
Lady Vampire. Like everything about this lady, even at the beginning when a hunter is going into the castle, so like he's expecting a fucking vampire already. Spots her. She couldn't be anything. She couldn't be a more obvious vampire. And somehow she completely gets the drop on him. Like, he never notices that she's obviously a vampire ever. And they can't even give her a name. Like, even if Mina Harker was copyrighted, like, why Lady Vampire? They could have just any name, like Susie or Elizabeth.
They could have gave her any name and then, like, give her an old-timey sounding lady's name and then said in her bio that she's a vampire, you know?
Yeah, they could have even made her, like, Ursabeth Bathory, the Blood Countess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they tried to keep it really simple for the fans.
I guess so, yeah. But yeah, I just wasn't... I just don't think it was a great job done on the actual selection of monsters. Like, not the selection, but at least the naming of them.
Yeah, like Witch Bitch. But, like, you couldn't just call her the Witch.
Yeah.
Like, just go super generic. The Swamp Beast. The Wolfman. The Frankenstein's Monster. The Vampire. It didn't have to be Lady Vampire, just the Vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been much better.
Like, just make it, like, super generic instead of these, like, hey, check out these, like, characters we've made. You could have just made them archetypes.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So this was just a failure of writing. It wasn't like, ooh, budget restrictions. Like, no, this was just, like, bad imagination on their part. So what else have you got to moan about?
Does Cyclops always have, you know, in the Legend of Cyclops, did it always have an optic beam?
I recall him having that, at least in when I played the Heroes of Might and Magic games. The Cyclops do have optic lasers, and those games were from the late 90s to early 2000s. So if it was based off something before, then that's the case, unless this guy is basing his Cyclops off Heroes of Might and Magic, in which case, I'm kind of even more impressed that he took that idea from a video game and just decided to incorporate it in because, fuck it, it looks cool.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it depends on what mythos you actually read about it. But anyway, first two rounds that we get is, first of all, it's the Witch Bitch versus Cyclops, and then we had the Lady Vampire versus the Mummy. Two of the big attacks that happen in those two matches are pretty much the same thing. The Cyclops uses his optic beam to burn the witch's face, and then the Mummy pretty much does the same thing to Lady Vampire with the amulet that he has.
Yeah, like someone just thought, hey, I found this great light burst effect, and it goes great with this like sizzling flesh effect.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, that's so great, it would be a waste to do it just once.
Yeah. So, yeah, they pretty much reuse the effect. The actual effect, like the look of the damage it does to the opponents looks the same. The only difference is that the it was enough for the Cyclops to win his match, but not enough for the Mummy.
Yeah, the that's already taking one of my bads. The Mummy has a sun amulet, and yet somehow it doesn't last enough to vaporize the vampire.
Yeah.
This is the fucking sun. That's like the easiest way to bypass any vampire's strength. Just cook the bastard, and it doesn't work. That's a fucking bad. As soon as you whip out a sunbeam, it should have just been like, vaporized dust, Mummy wins.
Yep.
But one of my bads was, I didn't have a problem with Lance Henriksen in the movie, but it just seemed extraneous when he's not like the main commentator or narrator. He's kind of like the voice of God, who's also like a sports fan on the couch with a beer helmet.
Yeah. Something tells me like the majority of the movie's $200,000 budget probably went to Lance Henriksen just to get him into a sound studio somewhere and just record his lines.
And they're not even like full lines. They're just like, again, we're like watching Mortal Kombat instead of a wrestling SmackDown, where it's like, stunning finisher.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Concussion. Blast of sun.
Because I think the most...
It's fucking confusing because we already have commentators.
Yeah. You know...
So who the fuck is this?
Exactly. Yeah, they kind of missed a mark on that. It was like, that kind of took it out of like the pay-per-view feel that they were trying to create. It's like they couldn't really decide what type of movie they wanted to make.
At least, if you're going to have that, at least one way to justify it easily, have also Lance Henriksen in the booth, but he's got like a cold, so he can't talk much. So he can only say one word or two per round.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got to save his throat. And like most of the time, like they turn to him and he's giving like a thumbs up or like a thumbs down, like... Like, you could have just done that to justify his voice showing up.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what are we hearing God? Weird. So, lay on the pain. Let's hear more gripes.
I don't even... Man, like I said, I kind of feel bad in a way for tearing us apart, but like... I know, like, you're constrained to what you can afford to do, and as much as I want to tear into special effects, I'm not going to. Just the repeating special effects, I'll just mention that, because, like, it really wasn't necessary. But the actual look, I'm not going to break it down too much. But, man, the acting in this thing was pretty damn bad. These people are not good actors.
Yeah, it's almost like they hired wrestlers instead of actors.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go.
Although, like, as good as that burn is, you think, since there's such a degree of showmanship in wrestling, that they would innately be good actors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I guess you have to actually try to actually improve. So, maybe there's a difference between showmanship, where you just, like, yell loudly and grandstand, or acting where you actually try to improve your performance and conveying emotion. So maybe there is a difference. Well, there clearly is, because this is the end result.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, one of the things I had to note was, so at the end, after winning their respective matches, Werewolf and Frankenstein's monster are the main event. They square off. Okay, I'll forgive, like, the whole, like, you know, because it, depending on what legend of the werewolf you follow, like, I mean, the silver thing is most commonly associated with a werewolf, but I've heard lots of werewolf legends where, like, you know, it doesn't take silver to kill a werewolf. It can be killed by pretty much any type of conventional means. But, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Frankenstein's monster assume that he won the match by crushing the werewolf's head? Only have the werewolf to heal, and then he kills the werewolf by grabbing its jaws and ripping its head apart. And that's how it was finally put down.
Yeah, they basically killed it like the way that, like, any strong hero kills an alligator in a movie.
Pretty much. But, okay, isn't that a little inconsistent? Like, is it really going to make that much of a difference whether or not you crush something's head or tear its head apart?
Yeah, if you break their jaw, they're still alive. They're just in an immense pain and they can't bite you.
Yeah, so I'm like, you couldn't have came up... Once again, it seems like kind of repetitive, you know? It's like, I crushed his head, he's dead. Nope, he's back alive. So now I, like, grabbed his head and ripped it apart. So now he's dead. But
yeah,
it should have been the same thing, shouldn't it?
Or just, like, rip the head off. Since you've, like, crushed the head, like, just, like, get him in a headlock and then rip that fucker off. Then, at least now you're like, okay, now he's clearly dead and not coming back from that.
Yeah.
And then have the head, like, turn back into a person. Because that's how usually the curse goes in a werewolf. As soon as they die, then, like, they've lost the curse and then they go back to their humanity.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I had my own inconsistency with the werewolf. And it came all the way to his title card. Where it says, like, one of his superpowers, Wolfsbane Benefactor. Became infected by the Wolfbane? Do you even know what Bane means, bro?
I missed that, but yeah, good catch.
Yeah, one of my complaints was, the witch, she keeps mentioning necromancy. So you think that she would have resurrected the referee to fight on her behalf.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, that's a good point, because the zombie uses, like, his, I guess, zombie power to summon, like, some other zombies to come fight for him.
Was it him? No, it's the fact that they were already buried. They were, like, desecrating an ancient burial ground, so, like, that act is what eventually raised the dead. The zombie was just like, oh, fuck, bros. God, bros, check this. It's a party.
Yeah, but I thought for sure it was a zombie man.
He would have to have, like, some sort of magic to do that.
Yeah, because I thought he summoned them, so...
No. They prefaced it earlier by saying, like, we're fucking with an ancient burial ground. We're asking for trouble. So that's, like, the preface to, like, spooky shit is going to happen. The dead are going to rise because we're not giving their souls rest.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Colonel definitely wasn't expecting it. You think, like, if he trained the mummy, which apparently he's got 10 years of training a mummy, but he doesn't go for headshots when the zombies show up. Does this guy know what training is?
I did like that one of them bit the announcer, Sid. and turn him into a zombie. And then I can't remember his character name, but Dave Foley's character has to put him down.
Oh yeah, and the fact that like he's totally oblivious to the fact that like you've been bitten by a zombie, and you keep talking about movie monsters, so you're aware of horror movies.
Yeah.
So like the fact that he's completely oblivious to the fact that this guy is turning in front of him. Yeah, I've only got a few more bets. How about
You know what? I can, I'll sum up mine into one bad. Like, you just go ahead and knock off yours.
When they announce the monster, they call him Frankenstein. And then, when I'm just like, I put that down as a complaint, like Frankenstein is the doctor's name, not the creature. And then update, we get called out on
yeah.
it. Because he goes, actually, that's Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein was just the creator. And don't let, like, if you mention that, the internet's just going to fucking get mad at you.
Exactly. I put that in my notes first when I was watching this movie as well. And had to delete it because I was like, that's like a fucking peeve of mine. And then they corrected themselves. I'm like, okay, so they are aware. They did that.
But they mentioned, like, assholes, only ass, like, petty assholes will get mad at you for it. And I'm just like, okay, you're calling me out for it.
They're not. They're calling not me wrong. Out. I mean, like, come on, they're not wrong. It's like, I know I'm a petty asshole for calling out people, but I will always do it. I will go to my grave calling out people when they call it Frankenstein instead of Frankenstein's monster.
But to get put in her place by the movie, that.
It's like the movie actually said to you, yeah, I know it's Frankenstein's monster, you fucking loser. Go get a fucking life.
So, yeah, somehow that ended up in the bad, only because when I originally wrote it, when I updated it, I should have moved it to the good.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you should put it in the good, because that did make me laugh, actually. The movie kind of, like, the movie calls us out and calls us a bunch of fucking losers.
Yeah, so that's that's my baddest, except for like zombie man, just not zombie. These are some pretty childish naming conventions. And the colonel, apparently 10 years of training a zombie, doesn't know how to go for the head, despite being like a military colonel. Like, you think he'd have like decent marksmanship.
And again, in a universe where movie monsters exist, but doesn't know how to kill a zombie.
Yeah, he fucking dumb.
So yeah, it's, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't want to tear down like an independent filmmaker that did something original. Just wanted to kind of combine his love of wrestling and horror movies. I get it. I was pretty bored during this movie, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, overall, yeah, it's just, it's not an exciting movie. This is for like, if you got 90 minutes to kill and you just want to be mildly entertained for that period of time and you got a Shudder account, then go for it. Go take a look. But like I said, it's weird because this is something like going on a Shudder, you know, based on everything that I watch on Shudder in a run of a month, you know, divide that into my $5 a month that I pay for it, it's like pennies that I pay to actually watch this movie. But, like, I'm like, oh, this was boring. I'm only watching this. If we didn't have to do this for the show, if somebody hadn't requested this, I would have just not finished it. I would have turned it off. Now, if I discovered this on YouTube, this was, like, somebody just did, like, a little web series on YouTube, I would have thought, like, oh, that's pretty cool. We should watch this. But, yeah, overall, I'm not going to give it the 16% it got on Rotten Tomatoes, but not a lot higher. I'm going to... this one for me bottoms out at about 25%.
Yeah, 25% for me as well. Who knows? Maybe the Leprechaun would have made it better.
Yeah. Well,
I guess we'll never know.
Actually,
uh-huh.
Got something to fill you in on, Mike.
Ooh.
So, Mike, I asked our sources if they could find any deleted scenes from Monster Brawl, something that never made it to the final cut. And they didn't disappoint.
Well, do they ever?
No, they're pretty good. Apparently an entire match was deleted from the movie. A whole monster mashup happened that we didn't get to see.
Really? What was the reason for the edit?
Well, the main reason was getting the rights for one of the monsters. It would have just cost way too much. Would have been a nightmare. Also, the writers apparently didn't quite get how weight divisions work in professional fights because this was a bit of a mismatch.
Mismatch? How so?
Well, I'll show you since I have the missing segment right here for this week's It Came from the Cutting Room Floor. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls, it's time for our main event. In the red corner from Northern Ireland, standing at 3 feet 2 inches, weighing in at 98 pounds, the Emerald Eviscerator, the Belfast Bruiser, the Four-Leaf Cleaver, the Leprechaun!
You can't have me, Gord, not one little speck. Try to touch it and I'll snap your neck. I hope you brought the lucky charms, cause I'm here to cause you bodily harm. You can't beat me, get it through your brain. You're about to enter the House of Pain. I'll tear you to pieces, it won't take me long. Don't mess with me, boy, I'm the Leprechaun.
And in the blue corner, fighting out of Tokyo, Japan.
Japan?
Standing at 350 feet and weighing in at a lot.
What's going on?
The Terror of Tokyo.
I didn't sign up for this.
The King of the Monsters.
Uh-oh.
Godzilla.
Oh, fuck me, Blarney Stone.
By stepping on his opponent, Godzilla!
Fuck. Yeah, the Leprechaun was good. It would have been nice to see any moves, but kind of went for the Monty Python segue as a ending.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not sure that when they originally wrote this matchup that they quite understood how weight divisions work. When it comes to professional sports, sports fighting, I should say, but I think, yeah, can you imagine how much royalties he would have had to pay to have gotten Godzilla?
Oh man,
that he is definitely not public domain.
And it was great, but it would have been nice to see another movie with Dionne Warwick again.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's doing a whole lot right now. They probably could have gotten him. If they can get Lance Henderson, they can probably get Dionne Warwick. So
we're just not going to correct that.
What'd I call him?
His name is Warwick Davis.
What did I call him? Dionne Warwick? What the fuck?
Yeah. I called him that to see if you'd catch it, and you didn't. I didn't know if you were going with it or not.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's not a soul singer from the 70s.
I'm a fucking idiot. Jesus Christ. Dionne Warwick. Holy shit. What the fuck? It's like not even close.
Oh my God. It's like, yeah, I loved her in Willow.
That is amazing. Holy shit. Like, and this is somebody, too, like, I mean, oh my God. He is someone that, like, I reference, like, probably more than... Definitely more than the average person does, because he's been in a lot of stuff that I watch.
Except you don't know when someone's talking.
Now I just confuse his name with like a black singer.
I love doing that with people just to see if anyone's actually paying attention to me. I was with my friend's mom drove me somewhere. We were gonna go pick him up from somewhere. She asked if I wanted to, like, go with her, so I'm like, yeah, I get to hang out with my friend. So we were listening to Respect on the radio, and I'm like, oh, that's done by Aretha Franklin, right? And she's just like, oh, yeah. I just sat there like, nope, I'm going to see if she catches it.
Oh, my God, that is the best. Holy shit. That is fucking epic. I'm not even embarrassed that I confused Warwick Davis with Dionne Warwick. This might be, like, of all the things I've ever fucked up, this may be, like, the best one. Fuck. I wonder if Warwick Davis can sing. I'm going to tweet to him and ask him.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Well, guys, oh my God. That is Monster Brawl. It's not good. Gonna be honest. Not good.
It's okay. It's not
if you
good.
Got a Shudder account and you're running out of stuff to watch, watch it. That's gonna be as much praise as I can give this one. Oh, but
if you want to see skinny Ron Jeremy survive a zombie apocalypse. Emergency good. Jimmy Hart in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every scene he's in, he is fucking fantastic. He's like the Stan Lee of this entire movie.
He is Jimmy Harting his heart out, man, in this movie.
He's Jimmying his heart out. And especially at the end when they do, like, the Marvel movies, they even have, like, yes. A post-credit scene.
Actually, I meant to put that in my good list, but yeah, I forgot about it.
Where... he's still with the ladies talking to the camera, and then when the zombies show up, he fucking abandons them. Or does he abandon them, or do they abandon him?
Because he gets pulled under stage by a zombie.
Right.
Jeez, I can't believe I even remember that scene. But yeah, that's what happens. He gets pulled under the stage and killed by a zombie. Well, you assume, at least.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. I had a couple of what the fucks. They were very short, though. And in the beginning... when they announce the whole movie, they say, broadcasting on pay-per-view to Canada, Newfoundland, and the United States. Was there a fucking separation in this universe?
I'm going to tell you something, okay? There is something to that. There's a reason they use this, and I'm going to go way back to something my dad told me. This goes way, way back. I think it was probably even, like, before my dad was even aware of it, because, like, he wasn't that old. But Newfoundland, of course, was the last province to join, or I think it was the last province to join Confederation, to actually join with the rest of Canada, because before that, it was British territory.
Yeah, it was run by Joey Smallwood, I remember. Yeah.
And apparently when NHL games used to be broadcasted on the radio... they used to actually say that the broadcast was going to Canada, United States, and Newfoundland.
Huh.
My dad mentioned that his, like, dad, like, my grandfather, used to tell him that when they used to broadcast NHL games on the radio, CBC used to broadcast it, they would actually say that. They would say, like, all three places that it was reaching.
When was Confederation? Was that in the 40s or the 50s? Okay, so they would have had some radio.
Yeah. So that's a throwback to, like, 1940s NHL. Like, this was, like, literally, like, a 1940s hockey reference this guy's making with that announcement.
Fuck that. I think I got to bump it up to, like, a 30% now. That's just fucking cool.
I'll give
cool.
him credit for that. Yeah, I'll give him points for that, for sure.
I got to another what the fuck. When they talked about the vampire... they introduced her as, like, the last of her kind. In the introduction, we see her bite the vampire hunter.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck?
Unless they're going with the, like, thing that, you know, it's not the vampire bites that turns you. You have to drink the vampire's blood.
Yeah, and you think being the last vampire, she would turn somebody for company.
Yeah, you would think so. Anywho's.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah. Well, you would if you think. And, now here's an actual what the fuck. Where the fuck was the battle between Cyclops and Lady Vampire? They both won their matches.
Yeah.
But we didn't see them square off. They just missed an entire fucking
fight.
Yeah,
the only people they got to fight twice was the Frankenstein's monster and a werewolf.
Yeah, we got one fight twice instead of all the fights. Like where was the middleweight championship? Because they did mention weight divisions in the thing. Like Frankenstein's monster versus the Wolfman for, like, heavyweight brawling, and then the lightweight was the witch and the Cyclops and stuff like that. So, like, we didn't get to see the middleweight championship. They just completely forgot to do that.
Yeah. I'll tell you the fight I want to see between two movie monsters. The Blob versus the Stuff. Just two big globs of, like, shit just, like, swirling around the... Swirling around the ring.
You're just waiting to see what color the mass turns into to declare a winner. Okay, well, exactly. Apparently one has been subsumed by the other.
Exactly. Okay, well, Mike, you got some choices in this one, both monsters and people, so I'm curious about what you're going to pick for your little segment.
Yeah, I do got some selection for this week's kill of the week. And we certainly did get some brutal executions with the witch getting vaporized by the Cyclops, although it did look pretty cheap. And then there was the... Which ones stood out to you? Because, to be honest, I watched this movie a while ago and we didn't get to record, so I've lost a lot from my memory.
The werewolf's death, even though I criticized it earlier, it actually looked pretty cool. I like that. Swamp Gut's death by getting his stomach stomped out was pretty good.
All right, yeah. How did the vampire killed the mummy by what did she do?
Ripping his heart out.
That was pretty cool.
I like the witch bitch slicing the throat of the ref. And the very first match, the referee gets it.
Yeah, I thought they'd be saving killing the referee for later, but no, they just blew that nut. They hit that nut early.
The guy that played the referee was like, okay, if I'm on set any longer than an hour, you got to pay me overtime.
Oh, we'll come up with something. I think I got to give it to the referee, because I was expecting someone to kill the referee later, but to just do it right off the bat, it was startling and got my attention. Although, I do have to put an asterisk on there, a missed opportunity, because once again, she talks many times about having necromancy arts, and yet doesn't raise the referee to fight on her behalf. So, you know what, I think I've got to disqualify. No, the kill was good. The aftermath of the kill, not so good.
Yeah, that could have been handled better, for sure.
It would have been great to see the referee fight, because then we could have seen, especially if he's not that strong, he's just a pawn, then we could see him get killed twice.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if that was in a slightly, if I was direct, if I had some input on this movie, it could have been a little bit better, but the kill was good.
If I had some input on this movie, they would have needed a much better, bigger budget, trust me. Well, guys, that is Monster Brawl. Have you seen this movie? What do you think of it? Are you going to watch it now because of our breakdown, or are you going to avoid it like the plague? If you have seen it, what do you think? Agree with what we had to say? Completely disagree? I bet Robin's going to message us and be like, you guys are fucking assholes. This movie's awesome. But we want to know what you think. You can email us, of course, at graveyardshiftpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @GYS_horrorpod, at Facebook at facebook.com/thegraveyardshiftpod, and of course on Instagram at instagram.com/thegraveyardshiftpod. If you're feeling particularly generous and you don't want Mike to starve to death, you can head on over to patreon.com/graveyard. There, for as little as $1 a month, you get to help us out with the costs of producing the show. Plus, you get access to some sweet Patreon-exclusive bonus episodes. Check it out. We got a pile of them on there. We do it a little bit differently than we do the actual regular show. We cover not just movies, but sometimes TV shows, video games. We do top 10 lists, all that kind of stuff. Even when we do movies, instead of doing a good and bad and just giving a little teaser, we cover the movie right with the full synopsis, give you the whole breakdown right from start to finish. So check that out. Of course, nobody understands better than us that not everyone has the money to be given away to an amateur podcast. But if that applies to you, you can still help us out a ton by going on to iTunes or Stitcher or however you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. In the long run, that's what helps us out the most. Even if you are contributing to us on Patreon, you can still do that. It helps us out. It really does. And if that's not possible, you can share us on social media or by word of mouth. If you know anyone that would like to listen to us give our thoughts on horror movies, then let them know and how they can find us. So, Mike, other than the graveyard shift, what other secondary things are you running these days?
Well, still running the Playing With Power podcast, even though it's hard to get my co-host to record episodes because, you know, when you have a bunch of kids...
Yeah, he's all daddied up again, so...
Yeah, you just decide, you know, I've got too much free time on my hands and the house is just too quiet. What can I do to change that? I know, I'll knock up the missus.
There you go.
So he decided to do that instead of, you know, buckling down and doing some podcast with me. But we're still finishing up the year and I'm getting a new co-host for the 1997 years and beyond.
Cool.
So we'll get to find out, can this magazine still be interesting when all they have to talk about are N64 games? We'll find out. Check out the Playing With Power podcast for that. But if you want to hear just good old NES and SNES and maybe even a Genesis game or two, you can listen to the Taste Test Retro Gaming with Flavor with me and one to two co-hosts, depending on one being available or not, where we talk about old video games and we toss in food themes and skits because fun times. And then there's the Technobabble podcast with me and Rich, where we just talk about, you know, tech stuff, maybe a little bit of good news that's happening with science and technology changing the world for the better, or just fascinating gizmos to while away the hours until the apocalypse consumes us all. And maybe we'll talk about some of the devices that will be at the forefront of that apocalypse.
Cool. I always like a good apocalypse. Okay, well, guys, that is our episode for this week. If you have a movie suggestion, something you want us to cover on a future episode, then you can use all those methods we talked about earlier to do that. We're going to be back next week with a brand new episode, another movie breakdown. You just got to be patient and wait a little while, that's all. 7 days. Start your countdown now. Anyway, until next time, I'm Sheldon.
And I'm Mike.
And thank you again for joining us for the Graveyard Shift. Bing, bing. The winner, by stepping on his opponent, Godzilla! Chewbacca, what are you doing here?